Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line of 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthWest.com, but put up the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Joey Pyburn, it's Joey Pyburn.
Good morning.
When did you get here? Bravo!
Yeah, exactly. It's good to be back, and good to be back in studio, too. I think it's been a year and a half, since at least since I've been in here. You guys have been in here a little while, but it's been a long time. I've been in this studio, so it's good to be back.
It's great to have you back, but did you have to bring Southeast Alaska weather with
you? Gosh, I know. We just get home, and it starts raining, for crying out loud.
Hasn't rained yet this summer.
Yeah. Well, you guys needed rain, so we're helping you out a little bit.
Yeah, we needed
it.
You were rattling off some of the river levels in Southwest Washington. It's just like anytime there's three digits and there's not four digits in some of these rivers, that's bone dry.
There are not a whole lot of water in these rivers, but that's okay. There's a lot of stuff going on. I was surprised, doing my usual Friday call around routine yesterday. I was surprised to hear some pretty good reports. I'm still bummed that Area 7 has been closed down forever, but that's okay. There's a lot of other stuff going on.
Cry about that.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff. And I heard some great reports. Talked to Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina. He was one of my first calls yesterday morning, and bucktailing at CQ came up. That's what he's going to be doing this weekend up there, trolling flies on the surface for big, fat cohos in the Strait of Juan de Fuca. It's just choked with cohos right now.
Yeah, and there has to be a lot of coho around for that to be effective. I mean, that's not something you do when there's just a few coho around. There's got to be a lot of them. And they're from CQ. They're all the way down into the South Sound now. There's a ton of coho. Nellie and I got out the past couple days. We thought after the first day, we're like, we got this figured out.
One thing about these Puget Sound coho, they can be awful lockjaw.
Well, they gave it to us yesterday.
Yeah. We got them on Thursday, and they got us yesterday. But we got a chance to get some wonderful families out there yesterday. We got the Schmidt family out on Thursday, and then you invited some guests that helped out for Salmon for Soldiers yesterday.
Yeah, the Varenith family.
Yeah, just wonderful people.
Great people. Yeah,
Varenth.
The kids were all
Varenth family. Varenth. Yes.
The kids are all like well behaved and smart and courteous and good little
kids?
Fisher people, and it's like, man, these people they're raising their kids right.
Great job raising their kids. Yeah.
So we did our best to undo their parenting.
And then they hung out with Nellie for the day.
They had to go fix everything Nellie did to him.
That's it. Well, I had some Copenhagen in the dash, and that's what sent him over the edge.
So. Hey, you want some candy?
Yeah, here. Free Copenhagen for the kiddies.
So this weekend is also the archery elk opener. Perfect weather for this.
I mean,
it's been hot and dusty, and it's still dusty for sure, but man, it's cooled right down. I pulled some of the forecast for Eastern Washington up high. The elevation stuff is cooled right down. It's perfect for the folks out chasing elk here this weekend, for the whole elk. So this early archery season, at least, it's perfect. We got the high hunt coming up this week. Great for those folks climbing up into the high country looking for deer. So that's good. We got a youth pheasant next weekend.
How cool.
Oh, yeah. Super cool.
Yeah.
On the release sites, got some great news from the Columbia River. They're going to open Warrior Rock up to the deadlines below Bonneville Dam for one Chinook a day, two hatchery coho. They're also talking about, there's some scuttlebutt about maybe reopening Buoy 10 as well. The runs are really tracking nicely down there. Biggest coho run since 1938 on the Columbia River. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
It
is. Where did this come from?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, where it came from was something that we've been hoping and praying for as a long time was a profound turnaround in the ocean conditions, obviously.
Yeah.
And so what surprised us, because Joey and I have been out monkeying around doing a bunch of stuff before we really even started fishing for coho, was the size of these things. I mean, the individual size of these coho. And there's are chunkers, man.
Yeah, they're healthy.
Yeah.
They're healthy. And we saw the same thing in Southeast. Big, fat, healthy coho coming in. The average was definitely up on the weight, at least, on all the coho up there, and really good to see. And you're seeing the same thing here. Seeing a lot of wild coho coming back to the sun
Tons
as well.
Of them.
Really cool. Got a razor clam opener, tentative opener next weekend. But the early testing all looks good for this opener coming up. There's 62 days scheduled from now to the end of the year. on the coast. They're all tentative dates, tentative razor clam dig dates. But, man, all the tests look pretty good for this. And there's just a stupid number of clams on the coast because it was closed all last
right.
year.
I've only got Joey scheduled for like 28 of those days he can dig and get us permits. So I'm giving him half that razor clam season off.
Well, and they bumped the limit up from 15 to 20 as well. So if you want to load up on razor clams, just watch the WDFW website. There will be an announcement early in the week on that. And I think Mark Iwasa is going to cover that a little bit here at 6:25 when he jumps on as well.
Well, we had to bring Mark in, the regional roundup, to get you up to speed. I mean, you've had your head in Southeast Alaska for the past 5 months. 5 months? Yeah, you left like the first week of June.
Yeah.
First week of April, right?
Yeah, we've been gone a while.
Wow.
So, it was snowing still in Alaska when we got there. So we arrived in Alaska to a full-on blizzard.
So you left nice weather to go up there, and then you came back here and
brought
it with you. Yep. Thank you.
It was just getting nice here, and Rob split.
Yeah,
went to the rain and snow, and then he gets back here.
Brought it on back with me.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, you're welcome. So Mark Iwasa is going to jump on 6:25 regional roundup. 7 o'clock, Mark Huesling from XO Mountain Gear going to jump on and talk about what they've got going on. Joe has been running these packs for years. You got me running one as well a few years ago. I love my XO pack. Packed a lot of critters out in that pack. And just learned last year actually how to use the pack.
Yeah, we figured that out for you last year.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Joey and I carpooled this morning, and I hear, and if you pack your pack, he's listening to a backpack podcast, okay? But what they're talking about, really, really made sense. So some of the stuff that Mark's going to talk to us about is going to be really cool.
Well, there's a way to load your pack. We don't want to spill the beans right now, but I've been doing it all wrong all these years. And so we'll get into that. 7 o'clock, Mark's going to jump on. He's also got some really cool hunts coming up. There's a great hunt up on Kodiak Island that actually it's a do-it-yourself hunt for deer for Sitka blacktails. It's super cool. They're going to be going up there again this year, so he's going to talk about that a little bit. But, 7 o'clock, Mark's going to jump on from XO Mountain Gear. They make some of the best packs in the world, incredible packs. 7:25, Todd Daniels. That was another thing I wanted to talk about was this just completely stupid numbers of pink salmon in our local rivers. He has just absolutely been roping them on the Snohomish system. He's going to jump on at 7:25, talk about how much they're just having a blast catching these pinks. And I tell you what, the Cowlitz River coho forecast, it is big time coming up here as well. So I'm sure he's getting ready to roll down there. And
those are actually coho that bite.
Yeah, for sure.
In the river.
Yeah.
They really, really do.
So 7:25, he's going to jump on and talk about those two different
things. Before we get any farther into this, you got to tell us about your pink avoidance program one more time. Because before the show, you were going through like a dozen trays of bait a day just to try to get your gear past the pinks down to the coho.
Oh, no. That's what I threw out in the first hour every morning, literally. So we're burning through. So now there's 33 packs of herring in a case of bait. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This, red label, maybe 38, green label, 33. I'm taking 20 to 22 packs of bait on the boat a day.
Tray.
Those are cartons.
Yeah.
That's a tray of bait.
Right.
That's 22 dozen herring. Okay.
Yeah.
I would cut up the night before. I cut up 12 dozen, have them ready to go. Literally just take the whole bucket and throw it over the side of the boat the second we get there because there were so many pinks. I mean, it was insane. The forecast in Southeast was 24 million. I'm not sure where it ended up, but I guarantee you it was not 24 million. I bet it was 30, 35 million.
Jeez.
And you got to get your cohos, but the cohos are covered up by the pinks. The cohos are down the bottom. Pinks are up top. So we would set up outside of all the fish, and I'd wait for the sonar. Like, keep your baits out of the water. Keep everything out of the water, because if you get it near the water, a pink's going to come launching out of the water and grab your bait. They're just swarming everywhere. Okay, sonar is clear. Go. And everybody would drop, get their stuff underneath, and then we would slide the boat in and keep it down the bottom. Don't raise it up. Do not get your bait above 80, 90 feet. Dude, keep it down there, and I'd have to go around and swat some people. You get your bait back down there. And then get in there at where the cohos are, and you could hook some cohos and get them in. But it was crazy, absolutely crazy for a while.
Huh.
But you're catching fish.
You are.
I mean, at the same time, you're catching fish like out of control. Well, it's all mooching, all cut plug herring mooching, which is super fun. But the pink thing was just like, whew, big numbers of pink.
And it's just cool to see that many fish.
It is.
Like, we're out,
sure.
Even out here, we're seeing, there's big schools of pinks. They're jumping all over out of the water. And
oh, yeah.
It's just like, there's fish
it's
everywhere.
It's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's
a good thing.
100%.
Yeah. All the nutrients they provide in our rivers and stuff. And at the end of summer, we were busy breaking down and taking boats out of the water and stuff. Well, I would work till maybe 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, have an early dinner, and then we would take the kids and go hit some of the local creeks on the island. We have nighttime adventures every night. Go see some bears, catch some pinks, bobber with a jig so they weren't snagging them, you know. And, mm-hmm. and the kids just had a ball catching pinks on their little trout rods in the creeks up there. So,
well, it's, yeah, you know, anyway. An absolute riot. But for the folks, you know, that we're coming out of the Port of Everett and there's boats and boats and boats and boats and boats. Just, I mean, the boat ramps are absolutely full. People are enjoying this. And it's got legs, too. I mean, despite the fact mm-hmm. that we've got, you know, a pretty good rain coming this time next week, it's going to change things, but also it's just going to pull more coho in from the straits. But before we pop out of here, I put in a show sheets together and I write down the number 9/11, and mm-hmm. today's the mm-hmm. 20th anniversary of that tragedy, that amazing attack in this country, and the big tagline for everybody was, you know, remember, you know, never forget. And I just, you know, just for today, just keep that thought in your mind. There was a lot of people that sacrificed everything. And I think a lot of our public safety workers and first responders these days are kind of getting the short end of the stick. So just remember. We'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. That is Rob Ensley. Yes, it's actually Rob Ensley back in the studio. Joey Parber and Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning. And so, you know, we often give advice on this show, and sometimes I should just shut up and listen to our own advice. And one of the things that I often say is, you know, never leave fish to go find fish, right? So on Thursday, we leave the Port of Everett and bop on down, get a little bit south of Mukilteo Ferry Lines, dump the gear in, and drop right into a double on coho.
Yeah, that worked really well.
That worked really, really well. And it was a foggy day, and the light level never changed, and we just hooked fish.
Well, and there were a lot of boats around, but we couldn't see them because it was so foggy. But we could see them on the radar. And we just kind of stayed in that little zone right there, and we caught fish all day. And the difference yesterday was we could see boats. And when we came around the point there at Mukilteo, there were a lot of boats. And
we just said,
you were like,
let's bounce.
Let's go somewhere where there's not a lot of boats.
And unfortunately,
there weren't any boats there because there weren't any fish there.
So that wasn't our greatest move, but you know, the thing of it is, if you got a plan that's working, man, and you get a fish 2 days in a row, you got to take that info you picked up on day one and working on day two. But the thing of it is, it was a profoundly different bite yesterday, and that's, you know, that's Puget Sound coho too. It's the Edmonds Coho Derby,
except for Nick Kester.
Yeah. At one point,
he hammered the cohos yesterday.
I'm driving the boat, and I see Nicky up ahead, so I'm like, oh, I'll you know, kind of aim at him, and we can go by and say hi to Nick. And he comes by us, and I'm like, we're like, hey, Nick. And Tom's like, get out of my hole. And he goes, you get out of my hole. He's like, just had a quad.
He had four quads yesterday.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, I should have steered away from him.
He was mostly trolling pink gear. Okay.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He wasn't doing anything coho-like at all.
Yeah.
He's like, he just trolled through some wads of coho and let them up and
but that's what it is too.
That's
it's
what
a
it
mix
is. Oh,
it's
sure.
a mix of pink and coho that's going on, which is fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but what a kick in the pants, and just to see everybody out there hammering them. But when it starts raining, I mean, it's, you know, later this week we're gonna see it start raining on Friday, and it's not gonna quit for a while.
Yeah,
and
the cohos are going to push hard. They're pushing in. There's a bunch of cohos out at CQ. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Talked to Dave Johnson, Kitts at Marina yesterday. He was all fired up. He's bringing a 5-weight with some bucktails out to CQ, and he is going to absolutely terrorize the cohos out there this weekend. I think a bunch of other folks are doing that, too. That's an old-school technique, and it really doesn't work all that well other places other than CQ. I get a little bit of PA, you know, you can do a little bit in there and off NIA band stuff, but man, CQ is the perfect place for that bucktailing program to work with this many coho in there, especially some big wild fish, big fish mixed in. Talk about an absolute blast, stripping them out 50, 60 feet behind the boat and just ripping.
You know what? Some of those guys run
some
in their
friggin'
wake.
The first wake,
yes.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, right on top of it. And so you're not running downriggers in conjunction with that teak. When you're bucktailing,
no, you're just bucktailing.
You got a couple of them, and they're in, and it's almost like putting out a friggin' tuna spread.
And usually without a lead, some guys will run like a little half-ounce sinker in there in line just to keep the birds and stuff away. It just keeps it right below the surface, but mostly it's right on the surface.
Yeah.
And it just the strikes are just explosive. Yeah. It's about as much fun as you can have fishing in the saltwater.
So, oh, without question.
Anyway, he was all fired up about that. And then the halibut thing too is still open out there. Yeah. There's some halibut opportunity. He was saying they're just roping the lingcod off of LaPush out on the prairie out there. He was out the other day and just nonstop lingcod action out on the halibut grounds off LaPush. So yeah, lots to do.
Can you put your disappointment into words about the fact that the tuna are now 100 miles offshore and you're not going to be able to make a tuna run this fall? Can you actually express that?
It hasn't even been on the radar to begin with. On the list of things for me to do when I got home, tuna fishing was not even on the list.
No.
So Robbie Tobeck, the tuna tyrant, reached out yesterday. Hey, you guys want to go on a tuna run next week? And I'm like, well, you know, I got to take some folks out, so I really can't. And
then but you got to ask the question.
I got to ask the question.
How far are they?
I got to get a haircut.
Yeah.
They're 12 miles out, I'd be like, I could probably do that.
And so I asked the question, right, how far out are the tuna? Well, I don't know, right?
He knows.
He doesn't want to say it.
I don't know. And then we got the word. Yeah, that is triple digits.
It's only a 7-hour boat ride out to where they're at.
Yeah.
To get them, they're 100 miles offshore.
Yeah.
And that's bad enough. Except for you got to come 100 miles back offshore. Mm-hmm.
So we're done talking about tuna. So anyway, yeah. we've got elk going on here right now, Joe. You're a master elk caller.
I don't know about that, but I mean, yeah, I've called some elk in my day.
I've been in the woods with you for a long time.
I can personally attest to that.
Maybe after this next segment, we need to dive into that a little bit and talk just a little bit of calling techniques for folks that maybe aren't out this weekend that might be waiting until the latter part of the season to get out and chase some of these elk, because they get pushed pretty hard by people calling. It's almost like duck hunting on public ground. Right, you got to almost work against the other people because people are screaming at them constantly and cow calling. I mean, I've been over there in Eastern Washington archery hunting early on, and it's just nonstop, just calling
in
the woods.
It's other hunters calling each other in and then having a conversation.
Yes.
Oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Auburn. Oh, I live right in Puyallup. Yeah,
I was calling.
We should have dinner.
Yeah.
We should get the kids together.
Literally,
it's like Tinder for hunters.
Yeah,
yeah. Swipe left, swipe right if you want to come in. But I'm calling a spike and two cows in, and there they come. I'm like, oh yeah, I got my chance. Well, then these other hunters think I'm an elk, so they're coming in too. So I got the elk coming in right here, the other hunters coming in over here, and so you got to work against that. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit here.
Is that a Hoyt bow you have right there?
And some of the strategy that you might employ to get these elk to go.
Are those crispy boots?
Yeah. Bayless is in the woods right now.
Yeah.
And he's sending me messages right now from his inReach.
Yeah.
So last night, you know, you lay in your tent and you can't sleep, right? Because it's opening morning.
Yeah.
And sometimes you hear them. Sometimes, you know, early like this, they're not talking. We have a little, like you said, some cooler weather coming in. And so he was laying in his tent last night. About 10 p.m., the bulls started bugling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really can't sleep. Then it's no sleep all night.
You and I were in the woods, and you were dying from a bee sting.
Yeah.
And this elk was screaming. And I'm like, how do I get Joe out of here and then come back and get, you know, kill the elk or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. We rehashed that story many times last year. But same thing. You can't sleep. You're not going to sleep a wink.
No, all it takes is it could just be a little.
Yeah.
And you're like, what was that? Yeah. Is that an owl or what?
Yeah.
A squirrel?
And you're laying in your little. Yeah.
You're like, oh, that was a bull.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, your heart starts pounding. Now you're shaking. You're like, oh, there's one out there. I'm going to get him. And then no sleep. You just lay there all night. And then maybe the bull doesn't bugle again, but you still can't sleep. You're just too excited. You just lay there all night like, okay, great. Well, I'm just going to lay here until I can get up and drink coffee.
Well, archery hunting has gotten extremely popular with some of the shows out there. You know, our buddies at Born and Raised, they've helped really popularize it because it's fun. And the community is pretty amazing. It's almost like running into a surfer. Like, everybody's just pretty cool, pretty chill, pretty happy for each other. For the most part, you don't run into too many aggro guys out there in the woods this time of year archery hunting elk. It's a pretty cool community, but there is a lot more people out there chasing these critters, and you got to use that. you got to think about that when you're attacking this thing, especially now that we're past the opener. Today is the opener. So let's think about next weekend. If you're waiting until next weekend, I want to pick your brain a little bit here in the next couple of segments.
Okay.
And think about what you might do to chase after some of these critters and maybe have some success.
Well, and you guys got a Montana archery hunt kind of plan here. When's that? When are you guys going to take off?
Next week, and we're not going to be back till middle of October.
Exactly.
So,
Well, we'll come back to drop off our bows, and then we grab our rifles and go back to Montana.
So if you want a guest host, give me a call, 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That is the Reverse Giant Hotline, brought by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. 710-710 is the text toy, powered by Yamaha Outboards. We are going to pop out of here for a quick break, coming back with the BOMAC Tech Line, Mark Uwasa's regional roundup. We got to get Rob up to speed somehow, and Mark Uwasa is the best guy for it. Go check out his latest blog on theoutdoorline.com and listen to him next here on The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the Tech Line, presented by BOMAC here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Yes, that is Rob Ensley. Your eyes are not deceiving you on the live stream. Joey Pyburn joining us this morning. Log on to theoutdoorline.com. Check out the latest blog by Mark Uwasa, Columbia River Coho Run. You know what, Mark? I'm not going to steal your thunder. What is going on down in the Columbia with the numbers of that coho run going over Bonneville, buddy?
Well, first off, I think I need to get some therapy here. I was supposed to be at Buoy 10 this morning chasing coho, so you know I'm kind of feeling it sitting here on land right now, and you know just by judging what I've been hearing, I mean, God, the highest coho count at Bonneville since the dam was built in 1938.
Wow.
I mean, when you hear that, you know, you're put me in a straitjacket right now, I guess you could say, for not being there.
Yeah, unbelievable. We just got word, a couple days ago that they were reopening that kind of upper part of the lower river from Warrior Rock up to the deadlines up at Bonneville Dam for Chinook. A couple of hatchery coho up in there, and it sounds like the Chinook numbers, too, are tracking right along, man. Going to be a great run. I pulled up the numbers yesterday. I think we're like 356,000 over Bonneville right now, which was pretty good. And lots of stuff going on down there. But this coho run is looking really good on the lower river. The numbers going into the Cowlitz, forecast of 156,000 coho going into the Cowlitz. What can you tell us about that deal there, Mark?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to steal the thunder from Todd Daniels when he gets on the line and talks about that, but man, that late-timed coho run down there this year is going to be something else. You know, on paper, it looks really nice right now, but the fact that these fish are already coming up right now and they're really bitey fish, this is something that folks need to really get down there in, you know, in that late September, October, all the way clear into November. That they refer to it as that B run of fish. Boy. We've all seen it. I mean, these fish are all healthy right now, large in size too. I mean, that shows that, you know, the ocean conditions out there are really in you know, was a benefit for these fish this year. And Tom, we talked about this a few years ago, right? That, you know, stay tuned. You know, once we get past that, the crap we faced in the mid, you know, 2015 and those times, you know, they're past this now, and we talked about this happening, and we're seeing the effect.
There's no question about it. I mean, we're standing on the cusp of something really significant. I mean, we're, you know, I've called it the roaring 20s, and I really think we're going to roar into this decade now because, like you mentioned, Mark, the ocean conditions have turned around, and we see evidence of that in Southeast Alaska, and we saw evidence of it with the Chinook run this year that had larger individual size. But what shocked Joey and I was this past Thursday, we go out, we not only have humpies that are of tremendous size, but we've got these big chunker coho. Now, we don't have to look back too far to see the Everett event and the Edmonds Coho Derby that's taking place today that had winning fish less than 10 pounds, right? That's not going to happen this year, man. You're going to see a gutted and gilled coho of 16, 17 pounds probably take the event today. And that's wonderful. And what it does is we're looking into next year, dude, unbridled optimism on this side of the microphone for sure.
You got that for sure. Yeah. Definitely.
So what can you tell us about Puget Sound coho, Mark? The reports have been pretty good. A lot of fish pushing in. Is there any rumors You know that the Snohomish system may see an opener here in early October or something. You hear anything about that?
You know, WDFW is staying pretty quiet about that right now. We'll see what happens here. We're going to get some updates, I think, next week on what's going on. But, you know, we can only hope, right now that something happens there. I mean, I've been hearing some pretty positive news about a lot of coho just kegged up everywhere. And I think what they're kind of waiting for is some, you know, these first rains to see what gets up into the rivers itself. And so, you know, let's hope and maybe we get there. I feel confident. I mean, just by looking at some of these numbers I've been seeing in Area 9 and 10 of the number of hatchery coho as well as wild coho
lots
being
of wild.
Caught.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
I love how fishermen are so good at starting these rumors. And it's like, you know, a guy's like, some guy's sitting at home and he goes, man, I wish the Skykomish and the Snohomish would reopen on October 1st.
Yeah. Hey, I know.
And he's like, I'm just going to put that out there. I'm going to call my buddy and be like, hey, you know what I heard? And pretty soon everybody's heard it. I heard it last week. Yeah. Nick Pulley calls me. Hey, they're going to reopen the Snohomish on October 1st. I was like, really? Where'd you hear that? Well, I don't know, but they are. They're talking about it right now. It's like, okay.
Yeah, let's just post it on Facebook.
Fake news.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah
bomb
news.
It out there.
Yep. Facebook news. Hey, and also this razor clam deal on the coast, Mark, pretty much closed all last winter. Completely stupid numbers of clams on the coast because hardly anything
right.
was harvested last year. They bumped up the limit. What can you tell us about that? Have you heard anything about this next opener and whether it's going to go or not?
Yeah, so I was on the phone last night with Dan Ayers, who's the coastal shellfish manager, and wow. I mean, just mm-hmm. to kind of hear, he was down at Claylock. I mean, Claylock's not going to open mm-hmm. this season, but the amount of tiny little clams there and everything else that's been happening on the other four beaches that are set to open. I mean, what he told me yesterday was that the marine toxin that we saw last year, it's still in a little bit of the clams, but the numbers of in their initial testing was so low. You know, there was a little blip, and even with that blip, that's just residual. He was confirming to me that was in them from last year, and the effects of that was because this summer, despite all this heat wave we saw, the ocean down there stayed relatively cool. I mean, we all know that from the guys who've been out in the ocean all summer fishing for salmon. The waters really didn't get that hot this year, which was good news. And I think that was what you were talking about earlier, these tuna being 100 miles offshore versus right in on the 20-mile zone, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's great news. And I think the other thing that we're going to be looking forward to, and we'll hear about it, the clams went to the lab yesterday. We'll get the final test results on Monday from Dan. And most likely we'll get the green light to go starting September 17th. We've got, 67 days of razor clam digging between now and the 31st of December? That's pretty awesome news. And to further boost that, they're raising the limit to 20 clams, right? That hasn't happened, Dan said, in the 41 years he's been working here at WDFW. And I think you have to go back. I think they reduced it to 15 clams in 1974. So that kind of shows you I was 10 years old then. I'll show you how long it's been.
Wow.
Mark Uwasa, outdoor writer. Of course, he writes blogs for The Outdoor Line, too. And so you can check out his latest blog on theoutdoorline.com, which runs down a whole bunch of stuff. And let's move from the bivalve mollusks to the multi-legged crustaceans and talk a little bit about a potential crab opener that we may have this fall. Also, quick reminder, turn in your catch record cards, or you can go on WDFW.com and do that online. That'll let you dodge the $10 penalty for not reporting. But what are you hearing with regard to a potential winter crab season in Puget Sound, Mark Uwasa?
Yeah, so last week I chatted with Don Velasquez. He's the head Puget Sound shellfish manager here, and he was saying, like you were saying, I think the most important thing is to get these crab catch cards in as soon as possible, because that's what is one of the determining factors on where we're going to see openers and stuff for winter crab. That will probably happen. We'll probably hear about an opener here anytime now. Usually it occurs around that early October period. And, you know, the areas that you'll probably see the openers are North Sound going up towards the Canadian border. That's typically the places. I know, like, some of these, you know, inner Puget Sound areas, because of the less abundance, we probably won't get the seasons down here, but anything probably from like Area 10 going up north, or not Area 10, sorry, Area 9 going north, we'll see some winter crab seasons, and it should be good. That's my favorite time to go. The meat starts really getting firmed up in these crab, and you see them really filling out. So
you
it
do.
Should be
and
exciting.
This year in particular, Mark, because we're going to have a profound spawning event in a lot of Puget Sound rivers. And here come the carcasses down the alluvial fan of all our streams. And well, but it's a good thing especially for the South Sound that has an abundance issue right now, to get a lot of this feed back in there, and it'll really help drive, you know, that part of the food chain, which is eventually going to end up in some of our crab. I want to order one more item off your mental menu right now. And that's, before I let you go, this is the off season. We need to talk about what's going on in Area 7, because we've had 7 days, and I really don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just got to touch on this. We're coming off a season where we've had 7 days of Chinook opportunity, 7 days of salmon opportunity in the San Juan Islands. Okay. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, mm-hmm. there's been dozens of commercial fishing days. How do you think us as a recreational fleet need to approach WDFW to, again, establish some type of fairness in this system? Because, man, if you've got 10 times more commercial days than you have recreational days, we've got a problem.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's one of these, you know, kind of a hot topic, you know, so to speak, about, you know, fairness and equity and how we approach this whole thing. But, yeah, it really needs to be addressed next year when we go into North of Falcon, for sure. I mean, it was really sad to only have 7 days up in Area 7, and man, to see, you know, the commercial guys up there fishing right now, it makes it really tough. And, you know, I can only hope. And one of the things that, you know, was kind of interesting was one of the things both Nick Kester and I were talking about when we were out on the water fishing, this was earlier in the summer, was, you know, I know that July 1st date is something that, you know, people really love up there to get on the water, but maybe we open it at the same time we open up Area 9 and 10. I mean, if you do something like that, maybe we can, you know, get some more days on the water. Mm. You're opening it up at the same time, and you're avoiding all this pressure, you know, in one spot. And I think we see that a lot in recent times.
I understand your point, but I don't think the recreational fleet needs to make any more of those concessions. Mark Uwasa, we thank you for your time, my buddy. I appreciate it. Keep in touch. And
thanks, Mark.
Don't be surprised if you get the call and Joey and I are going to drag you on board the boat one more time before the season goes.
You guys going to mooch?
We're going to mooch for coho. That's if you have Mark on the boat, you got to have some headless.
Well, there's enough fish out there to mooch.
Dude, there is, 100%.
Yeah, we saw people out there mooching.
Justin Wong's been hammering mooching.
Yeah, no doubt.
Cool. All right, buddy.
Thanks,
have
Mark.
A great rest of the weekend, man.
All right,
Mark.
You guys take care.
Take care, buddy.
All right, coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week for second Saturday in September already. Holy smokes. Robbo's
flying
back.
By.
Robbo's back. And we'll be back right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Simply handling everything on your boat. From autopilots to radars to FLIR, your stereo, your plotter, everything. And it all is in one place, and it's called Multifunction Navigation. It's available at raymarine.com. And Joey, you know, with the folks we had on the boat yesterday, it was interesting just to kind of go through the gear. Even though we had somebody on the boat that had Raymarine, the fact that these units do so much more than we ask them to do.
Yeah. There was stuff that they saw that Nate saw yesterday, and he was like, "I need to get that." And you're like, "Well, no, you have it. But you just need to learn how to use it properly." Yeah, we talk about that all the time. You know, people need to understand how to use these fancy computer fish finders they have on their boats. Now they have so much information
at like their fingertips. Said. You just need to know how to ask. You need to ask the right questions.
Do you literally ask the machine? You're probably to the point now where you actually talk to your machine.
Yeah. He's interfacing. You
know? Yeah, you've hit rock bottom.
I have.
Nelly.
I have.
Yeah.
When the only...
Which could be the name of your boat, actually. That we need to change the name of your boat.
Actually, I was going to go with
Beast. I'm not happy with the Sea Beast.
No, I
just hit rock bottom.
No,
he needs help. He does. He needs help.
I think I'm going to go with Chum Dumpster.
Chum Dumpster.
Instead of Sea Beast, I'm just going to rename it Chum Dumpster. Yeah. And what do you think?
Okay, let's get on with picks of the week. Now that you ran this right into the toilet bowl here, elk opener today.
Into the Chum Dumpster.
Yeah, right into the elk opener today. Archery elk, guys hitting the woods today. Perfect weather.
Yeah.
What a gift. I mean, you guys haven't had rain in 3 months, and I come home. Weather cools down, starts raining.
It's your fault, dude.
For archery elk hunting.
All your fault.
You are going to kill a lot of elk out there. I've spent a lot of dry,
crunchy
early openers in the woods, and it's
hot
just
and dusty.
Yeah, it just never feels right.
Yeah,
you know, the elk don't like to move around much.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of hide out in their little pocket.
Yeah.
The bulls don't talk. You can be in the elk woods, and there can be elk all over out there, but you won't know it. They just don't move. They don't make a peep. So you need that little bit of cool down to get them out. They get frisky. They start moving around. So, you know, for me, this early season, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to be quiet. I'm not going to call.
Well, you're going to hear what they're doing. And
you're going to match the hatch. I want to sneak around and see if they're there and find some sign.
Mm-hmm.
I find fresh sign, but I'm not hearing them.
Yeah.
My tactics are not going to be screaming my head off bugling.
And that's the mistake most people make.
Because it's fun to do that.
It is.
It's fun.
I'm going to scream, and I'm going to scream, and then something screams back at you. It's not another elk. It's another hunter screaming back at you. I mean, in some cases, they're screaming their heads off right now.
Sure.
But not always. So archery elk opener this weekend opens today, opens this morning. Big news from the Columbia River yesterday.
Huge.
Reopening Warrior Rock up to Bonneville Dam.
So many happy guys down there.
I mean,
that fishery was on fire when they shut it down.
Awesome, awesome deal down there.
Yeah.
One king a day.
Yeah.
Or you can have two salmon a day. One can be a king, or you can get two hatchery coho.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. The other big news, too, is this forecast for the Cowlitz River, 156,000 coho headed for the Cowlitz River. I'm going to hold off on that a little bit right now because we're gonna ping Todd Daniels on that.
We're going to dive into that.
Coming up in the next hour. CQ, completely wide open for cohos right now. Talking to Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina yesterday. He was like a little kid. Almost like he was, you know, he gets so excited to go trout fishing.
Yeah.
He was just all wound up to go bucktailing this weekend. It got me all excited. I was sitting there giggling like a little kid, too, thinking about bucktailing. He's bringing 5-weight fly rods and bucktailing on the surface for those big fat coho. Are you kidding me? Anywhere from 6 to 15 pounds on a bucktail on the surface. It's one of the few places you can do that here in Washington and really have a great chance of getting a limit, and not only getting a limit, but releasing some fish too and just having a blast. We just had a texter here a little bit ago at 710-710. It wasn't even hardly light yet. They already had 3 coho in the boat out there at CQ. So fantastic. Report from CQ right now. Halibut as well out there. Thursdays, Saturday, Sunday, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 days a week through the 25th. There's chicken halibut in that CQ area. There's also a bunch of halibut offshore out of La Push as well as Link Cod. So that's happening. And then the coho fishery in the Sound here.
Dude.
Not to mention the pink salmon.
Pinks
everywhere.
Pinks in the river. Skagit and the Snohomish, the Skykomish system. Loaded with pinks.
Yeah.
Those rivers are low. So, you know, not a lot of boat access on the upper sky, but trust me, there's a lot of bank access up there. The lower river, the guys are running their boats, and the Skagit has been insane. And there's a little bit of color up there now that we got that little bit of warm weather, put a little color in the water. So I thought I was going to get a bit of a break. You know, I thought it was, I was hoping for a bunch of rain to flush those suckers up the river, but that little bit of color, back on the bait. You gotta run bait up there, guys. And now what they're starting to do,
because we sand shrimp.
Well, here's the thing: we've been pumping as many as we can, but you know we're coming up short. So we started pumping coon shrimp up there, and those little coon shrimp are dyed pink and red.
Mm-hmm.
Once there was no sand shrimp around, guys are like, we'll grab what we can.
Hammer time.
And those things are working really well.
I'll
so
talked to
I'll
Kevin
bet.
John at Holiday Sports last night. Just a big sigh of relief. He was out the door of Holiday Sports. He was just like, my God, another crazy day. He said, last weekend at the store, 3 tills running, lines to the back of the store behind all 3 tills, anything pink, Just give me something pink. I can throw in the river and catch a pink salmon. It's great news, man. The Sound is loaded with them. Talked to Kester last couple of days, getting limits of pinks and silvers as well on the Sound. Awesome news as well for the Edmonds Coho Derby.
So yeah, and the thing of it is, I mean, obviously we're past the peak of the saltwater pinks right now, but we are not close to the peak of the coho run.
No, it's just
Labor Day weekend was last week,
and
there's been seasons where nobody's uttered the word coho salmon on Labor Day, and this has been phenomenal. So we're looking at, you know, and generally that Everett Coho Derby is kind of, you know, a good mix of saltwater and freshwater. But this year, I mean, I tell you what, it is absolutely going to be hammer time. And
they're
the
pushing
size
in,
of these things.
They're pushing in. Those coho are starting 100%. To push into the rivers. I've heard of, you know, more and more fish being caught in the river. So by the time the Everett Derby comes around, there's going to be some big old coho in the river.
Yeah, and, you know, and so don't forget, enter these derbies because you got a derby boat coming your way that's Yamaha Power, Raymer and Electronics, got Bernouin mounts on the thing. Okay,
sitting down at Bayside
right
now.
Bayside
right
now. They brought it in there. So and you entered any of the events last year or this year, and your name's going to get pulled, you know, 2 weeks from Sunday. And there we go. A new boat goes down the road for somebody. No question.
A lot of fun stuff going on right now. A lot of positivity. The Area 7 thing buzzed me out. But man, there's a lot of other stuff happening. Definitely hook up the boat and tow your boat somewhere and dump it in the water and get in on some of this stuff. Also this week, Grouse opens up. High Hunt, also on the 15th. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go in with you, Joe, this week, but it sounds like you might be hiking up in somewhere to go chase some of those bucks in the high country. So
Yeah, if we get a little bit of rain and the fishing slows down a little bit, and I can get out of here. Mm-hmm. I need like 2 or 3 days to get out of here and get in the woods and get my mind right.
Yeah, this cool weather's good for that too. Good for the High Hunt.
Oh, man.
All the folks
perfect.
Back in on the High Hunt. And again, talking about just the hordes of people joining our outdoor sports, hunting and fishing, the trailheads on these High Hunts the last couple years, last year in particular, packed with people. Everybody packing into the backcountry and trying to get involved in this stuff, which is cool. It's a double-edged sword. We don't like it because we like to have our little hidey holes up there and stuff, but it's neat to see.
You just got to work. You got to work harder than those newbies.
You got to outsmart.
They don't quite know the program yet. Yeah. They mostly stay on those trails.
They do.
I'll jump a ridge and go get off the trail and get a couple miles back. Yeah. I was up. I did get up for a little evening bear hunt, and it's a trailhead that I just normally don't see any people. If I do, they're just hikers.
Yeah.
I get up there. And I kind of look at the cars, you know. I look at the stickers on them. I kind of tell what.
Yeah. Scouting the competition.
I'm like, that guy's a hunter. That guy's a hunter. It's another hunter. Three trucks up here in my little quiet spot.
They got EXO stickers and Vortex stickers and whatnot.
Anybody the Sierra Club, we know right away. They're not one of us, no question about it. 710, powered by Yamaha Outboards from the 425. Are pinks still available from the beaches of Fort Casey Bush Point? Interesting question. I think you need to be focusing on silvers if you're on the west side of Whidbey Island.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Go to the beach. Take a pink buzz bomb and fling it out there and see if they're still around. I mean, we were still seeing a bunch of pinks on the west side of Possession.
True.
They're flipping all over the place out there. So, yeah, there could still be some pinks out there. But there's probably a bunch of coho moving down the beach, too.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We have the rest of the month to fish Area 9, okay? The 19th is going to bring a closure in Area 8, both 8-1 and 8-2. But then we have through October in Area 10. And Area 10, pretty popular right now because there's no fin clip restriction for those coho. Right, but you know, Area 9 right now is really gonna light this week. I mean, it's right now. There's a bunch of fish at the shipwreck and all the way down into Burroughs Bay and up into Humpy Hollow and all the way into Mukilteo. But
Burroughs Bay, Browns Bay,
Browns Bay, Browns
there you
Bay.
Go.
Sorry,
Burroughs Bay is up.
Burroughs
Bay.
I'm sorry. I blew a deception.
That's
past
okay.
Mainspring right there. they'd be in Burroughs Bay too. You just can't fish for them.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them up there. Yep.
Oh, Gary,
I bet there is a pile of them. No question about it. And you know, and again, like you said, you know, September also is going to bring, you know, our early part of our pheasant release site stuff. Okay, the youth waterfowl hunt is going to be the end of this month too. And what are we hearing about our duck populations? What were the nesting conditions?
It's tough. That drought extended way up into BC, Alaska, all that stuff, and kind of mixed. I mean, we went into this with, you know, 50-year highs.
Mm-hmm.
We're still way up, but the mallard thing, the nesting conditions weren't that great.
Huh.
I mean, it's just kind of mixed. mixed.
But so. like anything else, though, waterfowl season is driven by the weather. And yeah. and if we get the weather, you know, then you know, we're going to have a great opportunity there, too. Hour two is jam-packed. Mark Huesling of XO Mountain Gear. The pack on your back can make or break your hunt. And Mark's going to jump in and tell us how to not break your back and not break the bank at the same time. Get the right backpack for your fall. Rob Hensley's Northwest Outdoor Report, hashtag Witten by Wabo. Todd Daniels, the Cowlitz Cornucopia, is in our future. But in the meanwhile, he's up on the River of Pink. Roy Robinson, RV's really wearing a pile more. Stay tuned for jam-packed hour two right here in the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.